For the children of Israel, Nehemiah chapter 10. The children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, which are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers. And we will not forsake the house of our God. Just for a few moments, saints, we'll just speak around the thought. A willing heart. A willing heart. When we spend time, particularly in the Old Testament, it is imperative that we keep in mind that we don't make a stereotypical separation between the Old and the New Testament. Sometimes there is a tendency, because we speak of the law and the commandments and God's workings and dealings, that we have a legalistic, sometimes, perspective about the Old Testament. First of all, you want to keep in mind, again, that there's some terms that are used that have some measure of distinction. We can speak of the Old Testament and the New Testament, then the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And yet that's not always biblically, categorically accurate. What I mean by that is this, that the Old Testament does not just mean the Old Covenant, amen, and that does not just mean Israel. The New Testament does not mean all of the books of the 27 that are there. The New Testament more specifically speaks about a new covenant that God established. And so we use the term the New Testament sometimes synonymously, but not always categorically the same. There's no need for debate or discussion about that, but it is some impetus for it, because there is a spirit that runs throughout the scriptures when it comes to God's people. When I say a spirit, not just so much the Holy Spirit, but in a way that God deals with his people. Because all throughout the Bible, there's not only saints in the New Testament, there's saints in the Old Testament. There are not only righteous people in the New Testament, there are righteous folks in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith both in the Old and the New. Amen. And not only that, but there's also, when it comes to this issue of God's people, when they respond in the issue of giving. Amen. We have, Christians have all kinds of theological underpinnings about when you hear certain terms, and even when we talk about the issue of tithing, and then there's, tithing, that's the Old Testament. No, tithing is in the Old Testament, but not so much in terms of how we speak of it. It became a legal requirement under Moses. But before Moses came around, there was tithing with Abraham. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God. But when Moses came around and God gave Israel the law, it became a legal requirement for them to give the tithe, which is the tenth. Are y'all following me here? Now, underneath it, however, the whole thing is about giving. It's about giving. And God never really wants to have anything from you if you don't do it from your heart. Because, excuse the expression, God's economy, he don't need anything, because a cattle on 10,000 is his. He, one time, he said to his people, because they thought, because, God was their God, and, and he brought the rain for them, that they can go worship other gods. Then they thought that when they came time for the Sabbath day and to worship God, they figured they can do whatever they want all through the week, then come to the Sabbath and come to that high worship that they had and tip God. And thought God needed to have that. And God told him, he said, listen, if I needed something, I wouldn't tell you. Yes, sir. Amen. Because he dismissed what he had covenant with them to do. In other words, the things that they held to do in terms of their ceremonies and the things that they held during the times of the Sabbath, that was okay. God told them, he gave that to them. But if they worship other gods during the week, God said, don't come to me at the end of the week and act like what you're doing is good. No, I don't want that. I'd rather obedience rather than sacrifice.
But nonetheless, we do see again, saints, here, Book of Nehemiah, we see the people as they kind of getting themselves together and sanctifying themselves to do as unto the Lord, to walk with their God, even as he begins to bring stability to the people. They built the walls, and yet that job, again, though it was good, it was not done. The work was not done. God wanted his people to begin to look into his word and see the things that he had originally gave them, because God was not necessarily doing or giving them new things. He wanted them to recover what he had given them before. Do you and I not realize that most of the things sometimes that we fall off on, we don't need another Bible. Amen. I just need to do the thing he gave me in the first place. A lot of the exhortation of the prophets was not giving them more things added to the law. What they were doing was encouraging the people to turn from God, turn to God, and do the things God gave them in the first place. Amen. I don't know about you, but I also experienced the same thing. Amen. When the Spirit of God is at work and he's speaking, God says, listen, we don't need 67 books. He just needs us to do the 66 that he gave us. That's how the false prophet get folks. Amen. They go looking for something new, and I have been studying what I have. Amen. Yeah, it's a little, amen, it's a little slow coming out, but they'll get up to here in a minute. But nonetheless, we look at Nehemiah, and the people began to respond and to the admonition of Nehemiah. We got to the end of Nehemiah chapter 9. We see here where they made a sure covenant, they says, with God. In other words, they decided to come together, and they made a commitment. We don't see the specifications of it, but to hold that for a minute. And so they done that, and Nehemiah, the governor that was appointed there by Artaxerxes, the king, he had a span of 12 years where he was going to be there. He sealed, again, after they wrote it down, these things that were agreed upon or spoken of. But then it was not done, because we turn over to chapter 10, verse 28, it says, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, these are leaders of spiritual, and also the porters and the singers, folks leading in worship. The Nephilim and all they that separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. Notice this now. See, there's no neutrality with God. Amen. Either you're in or you're out. Amen. Amen. You separate yourself from those things that are not of God, but then you sanctify yourself unto those things that are God. Amen. Are y'all following me here? Amen. Come on, now listen, there's no in-between thing here. When God calls you out, he calls you out from something to him. Amen. He don't call you out and then say you can do what you want. No, he called you out because he delivered us. If I called on him to get me out of my mess, I sure enough don't want him to leave me for me to mess up again.
Amen.
So the people set themselves apart, it says, unto the law of their God. But then it got specific, saints. He said they separate themselves from the peoples of the land because of the intermingling that went on when their things were down. Are y'all with me here? See, there's this tendency sometimes. Again, that's why it's so important. I believe my pastor used to say, you no stronger than your last Bible study. Amen. Some folk probably scratch their head and say, no, come on, man, I got some stuff. No, because after a while, if you stay away from the word of God, you start to slide. Ain't that right? You start to slide. Amen. You need to refresh your course. So, sometimes you come back to that word, it's like it's new again all over to you. Because when you're saved, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when you're born again, you've been made alive on the inside. And you need the living word to keep you perked up. If not, you'd be out there doing the same thing you were doing before. Amen. And still coming to church. I need a word from the Lord. So they told them to separate themselves from the peoples of the land to the law of their God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Then it said they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and they entered into a curse and into an oath. Now, let me just say this for a minute. Be careful now. See, what happened is when God gave them and stopped them at Mount Sinai, and then Israel was given a covenant. And in that covenant, which Moses rehearses again in the book of Deuteronomy, the restating of the law. He stood on Mount Nebo in another mountain, and he spoke to Israel. He spoke blessings and cursing. Yes, if you do this, you will be blessed and experience life. If you don't do this, you shall be cursed and death. Are you with me here? Now, I'm not saying that's your way in which you should walk with God. That's what God gave to Israel. But the people understood this, so they said, they claved in themselves, entered into a curse and into an oath. to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. Now, I want you to pause for me with it just a moment, because there's something here that must not be missed. Because even though we mentioned to you about Moses and God gave Israel this law, and he said, if you keep my commandment, you shall be a peculiar people unto me. And that, yes, the law, again, the law was something that God expected them to do. There was an expectation of obedience. If not, there would be chastisement. But yet here, when you see God's talking to his people, and the people said they would cleave to the law, notice the language and the spirit of their response. They said in verse 20, and they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgment and his statute. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring wares or some... No, I ain't gonna say it. Bring wares, I mean, they want to buy some goods. They're gonna come around on a Sabbath day, try to sell them some goods. And if they bring them by, or any victuals, on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath day or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Now, what I want you to see here is, even though these things were spoken about in the law, what happening is, you notice the people's language, the pronoun and the personal pronoun. They said, we would do this. In other words, listen here, we know what the Bible, we know what the law said, but guess what? We're going to do this. We're going to do this not because we're walking around as God's going to hit us, like he's going to step on. We're going to do this because he's our God. And not only that, I don't need y'all talk about the leaders to tell us what to do concerning it, because we know what to do, and we're going to get together among ourselves, and we're going to take this thing on, and we're going to make sure we do God's will. Amen. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? When you do something from the heart, you don't need nobody policing your soul. Amen. Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about here. When you do it from the heart, when you have a willing heart, again, you don't need nobody looking over your shoulder. You know what needs to be done and what should be done. And the people got together among themselves and said, we're going to take care of business, yes, for our God. Yes, sir. Said we would not give. And if the people of the land bring wares of any victuals into the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or the holy day. They would leave the seventh year an exaction of every debt. That means at the seventh year, anything anybody owed them, they would release them from the debt. I know where I'm getting no amens in there. Amen. Also, we made ordinances. Watch this here. We made ordinances for us. This is accountability. This is covenant accountability. Are y'all following me here? Yes. Listen here, brothers and sisters, and that's what we are. We are the people of God. Yeah. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. We're the ones who God, through Christ, have made a new covenant that not just involved the forgiveness of sin, but also a spiritual camaraderie that we share, that we would look out for one another. And had nothing to do with deacon, pastor, trustee, or any other title. It has everything to do with the head of the church and how we as body, people that are body of Christ, are connected to one another.